Stay tuned to 101.5 because each month we'll bring you interesting and informative podcasts with architect Stephanie Skyring from Renovation Collaborative. Are you going in circles trying to work out whether to renovate or sell? Do you need more information about current costs to help you make the right decisions? Over the coming weeks, Stephanie is going to help us find the answers to our questions. She'll be sharing episodes from her Renovation Collaborative Season 1 podcast, Renovate or Sell. She'll be interviewing 5 trusted industry insiders to find out the latest information about the cost of house construction from a building cost estimator and a quantity surveyor, about the cost of houses from a real estate agent, about home loans from a mortgage broker, and about the right amount to borrow from a financial advisor. Stephanie, can you tell us what we are going to hear about today?
Absolutely. Are you thinking about borrowing finance for a renovation or new house and wondering if it's a good time to get started? In today's episode, I talk to a mortgage broker and you'll find out what's happening with home loans and interest rates, plus info about current housing demand in Southeast Queensland and which banks support the environment to help you make the right choices. I talked to highly respected mortgage broker Richard Jeffries from Newbridge Home Loans in Brisbane.
Good morning, Richard, and thank you so much for joining me again on the Renovation Collaborative podcast. It's a challenging time to be borrowing money at the moment to buy a house to start construction. Prices are just so high at the moment. Can you bring us up to speed with what's happening in the current finance market in relation to borrowing money and your experience on what's driving the changes?
Sure. So we're seeing interest rates now at a fairly stable level. Every month there's different comments from economists as to whether they'll go up or down. And what that next move will be from the RBA. There's two forces driving what the RBA does with interest rates. There's supply and demand. So there's simply a lack of supply for the amount of demand that there is for housing, and that's pushing prices up. However, there's also the affordability piece. So everything else is going up in price, and we know that by what we refer to as inflation figures. And so it's simply getting to a point where it's becoming unaffordable for a lot of people to buy property. Mm. So that, on the other hand, is putting somewhat of a cap on prices going further. Interest rates play a really big part in that because they determine what the repayments are and how affordable it is or is not for people. So if the RBA does lift rates, you might expect that prices to halt or even potentially come down. If they were to drop rates, it then becomes more affordable for people and they can also borrow more. So you might expect prices to increase.
Mm. Wages in Australia have been disproportionate to house and construction costs for so long now. And it means that people often have to borrow more money. What changes have you seen over the last few years, in particular, in the size of mortgages that people have been taking out, in your experience?
Yeah, well, they've had to increase as property prices have increased.
That's right.
Because people, as you said, wages just aren't keeping up, so people aren't coming up with a larger deposit. What we've seen is a bigger amount or a larger amount of people's household income going towards the mortgage.
Mm.
So that percentage is growing, and so there's less money to be spent elsewhere. That then puts a lot of stress on families as well, and, you know, we could go in a totally different direction here, but often, if people have children, both parents are then forced to work. We've seen the rise of childcare centres, and that kind of comes back to how expensive it is to live, you know, in Australia now.
So, yeah, it does. It's really changed lifestyles as well, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
And so just looking at the numbers there, like, you know, looking at, say, you know, 5-10 years ago, the sizes of mortgages that are coming across your books, what would they be then compared to now? Like, are people borrowing $1 million now for bigger jobs or really in the high?
Oh, some people are, without doubt. It varies quite a lot. But if I talked really broad numbers, 10 years ago, I think our average loan was close to $400,000,
yeah,
the average. Now it would be closer to $600,000.
Yeah, wow.
But we're doing several loans that are over $1 million, mm, yeah.
So the figures that you've been talking about have been relating to Brisbane. How does Brisbane relate to the other capital cities around Australia?
So Brisbane's currently sitting third as far as the most expensive city based on a medium house price, behind Sydney and Canberra. And Brisbane's really moved on of late. I mean, it used to be behind Melbourne. It's now more expensive than Melbourne.
It used to be well down the list, didn't it?
So Melbourne, their population growth has slowed since COVID.
Mm.
And they also have a lot of supply. There's a lot of land in Melbourne on the outskirts. So there's a lot more supply coming on than in Queensland, southeast Queensland specifically. So speaking to a real estate advisory executive last month, he told me that we are 14,000 homes a year short in southeast Queensland.
Right. That makes a big difference to demand, doesn't it?
Massive.
Yeah. And can you tell me any information about – so you've put Brisbane and – so what did it start? Sydney, Canberra, Brisbane, Melbourne. And can you give me any other information about the other capital cities? So Adelaide, Perth, Hobart, you know? I know.
Not really. Only that Perth is really booming and becoming a lot more expensive of late. Brisbane's long-term – average medium house price growth rate is 6 to 8%. So over the last 10 years, it's about closer to 8%. Over the last 15 years, it's closer to 6%. So what does that actually mean? Well, if you've got $1 million house, every year, it's growing by about 6%.
And so that makes it quite a reasonable investment, doesn't it, for people from other states? Hence, we've got investors in Brisbane.
Yeah, which is one of the great things about property is you get leverage. So if you've got $1 million house and it's growing at 6%, so that's $60,000 a year.
Mm.
A lot of people couldn't save that much money. Whereas if you've got $100,000 in the bank and that grows at 6%, that's only $6,000.
Mm.
So you're not getting the leverage that you're getting with property.
Yeah.
So,
interesting. So thinking about borrowing now, where do you see borrowing going in the next 12 months, say?
Well, it's going to be largely dictated by what the RBA does. I don't see the RBA moving interest rates a great deal, either up or down. I think they're going to have to stay fairly constant, and that's because they're not going to drop them down because of inflation, and that's dropping them down would only potentially spur inflation more. And I think they're going to be reluctant to increase them further because mortgages and house prices are making things really unaffordable for a lot of people.
Mm.
So I think they're going to have to stay fairly constant, and I think house prices will probably do the same as well. I think there might be a bit of growth, but not sort of growth that we've seen over the last 5 years.
Mm. It does seem that things are slowing down a little bit as well. I've seen that. Also talking to the cost estimator about construction costs as well, everything seems to be levelling a little bit, which would be good. Another thing that comes up, certainly in my line of work, is about environmental features in houses. So be clear about that and say things like passive house, double glazing, things like that. How are environmental features valued, by the banks, and how do they affect mortgages at all?
It's not a huge part of the industry. It is there. So we have the likes of Bank Australia, who has a green loan where they will give you you will get a better interest rate if your property has certain features that make it more green.
Yes.
In day-to-day, 90% of banks, it's not really something that they're actively marketing towards that we're seeing, but it has started.
It has started. That's great.
It's started, yeah. It's
made a start. Yeah. And so while they're not marketing towards it, it would be interesting, and probably there isn't enough examples that may have come across your books as well, for example, passive house. I'd be interested to know how that is valued by valuers, if they perceive that as something that's more appealing to the market or the banks.
So, yeah, it's a great question. Valuers are going to valuers will draw their conclusions based on data and other properties
which is past,
that are sold.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. But that's kind of where they have to hang their hat on.
Mm.
So if they can see that there's a premium for those sort of properties and there's evidence to support that, then, yeah, that will be reflected in the current valuation they're doing.
Mm. Definitely. Mm. And I think that because they have to look at the past information, it just takes a while for everything to catch up, doesn't it?
It does, and valuers have always had a bit of a reputation of being rather conservative.
Of course they have to be. That's right.
I mean, they're putting their necks out to a certain extent too. If they provide a value to the bank and it's over, it's too high, you know, they can be open to litigation from the bank.
Right.
So, you know, they're putting their necks out, whereas real estate agents, and you know, they're often giving appraisals with the intention of trying to win the listing. So there's usually some sort of disparity between what a real estate agent says a property's worth and what a valuer says.
They will usually always
be more conservative.
Mm. And I just want to ask a little bit more about the environmental stuff, because I know that's what a lot of people are interested in looking forward, and we've talked about that it's not necessarily valued so well at the moment, but it's slowly changing. Is it something that you see coming across your desk, or is there anything aligned with that you see changing at all?
Yeah, so the part of that we do see is customers coming to us and say, look, I would like to be aligned with the bank that shares my values, and as such, I don't want to choose a bank that supports the fossil fuel industry.
Yes.
There's actually a really great website on that you can go to, and it actually lists all the banks that do support fossil fuels and all that don't.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, it makes it really clear. It's really easy to follow. You know, I can tell you most of the major banks do support companies that are high emitters of fossil fuel. Think credit unions, Bank Australia, some of those smaller lenders tend not to.
Yes.
Community type banks.
And so with relation to information on that, link to that list and websites and other information you've talked about, you've got a really informative website, haven't you, that's got lots of information on there about all that sort of stuff?
We do. Yeah, we've tried to produce a lot of videos over the years that cover various areas of getting finance, getting home loans, whether that be environmental type questions around which banks sit where, in what companies they support, to how to structure your loan, to how to get a loan for renovating, what it's going to mean for you, how to choose the right sort of loan amount, how to make it affordable. Yeah, we try to cover all the topics in our industry.
Yeah, and all of these links will be on the bottom of the podcast. So if anyone wants to have a look at those, we'll have all those links there. That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Richard Jeffries, today for coming to talk to us on Renovation Collaborative. It's been really informative.
Thanks for having me.
It's been so interesting to find out what's happening in the current market. To conclude today, I want to draw your attention to these main points. Number one, Richard forecasts that over the next 12 months, interest rates would remain fairly stable. Point number two, there's a high demand for more houses all over Australia, coupled with a shortage of houses available on the market. Southeast Queensland alone has a shortage of about 14,000 homes a year, and this demand is pushing up house prices with no signs of stopping. Point number three, Brisbane's long-term average medium house price growth rate is 6 to 8%. And this means two things. Houses are getting more expensive at a steady rate. If you're a first-time home buyer in southeast Queensland, just try and get into the market in the best way you can before it becomes even more unaffordable. Property in southeast Queensland is very desirable for investors with these strong long-term growth rates. Next time, in the final episode of this season, we'll talk with a financial advisor to get a second opinion about what's happening with inflation and interest rates and how much everyone is spending on home loans at the moment. Plus, you'll find out some ideas to help you work out the right amount to borrow and how much is too much. I'll be talking to Tim Ward from Ward & Co Wealth in Brisbane. And that's all from me.
Wow, you've given us all a lot to think about. Stephanie Skyring from Renovation Collaborative, thank you for joining us on Morning Magazine and keeping our community informed and connected on 101.5 FM.